Have you ever paused, just to appreciate the incredible unseen symphony, the one playing out inside your body every single second?
It really is something, regulating heart rate, mood, all happening behind the scenes.
Exactly. And today, we're going to take a deep dive into one of those key players, the endocrine system.
Ah, yes, the body's chemical messaging network.
Right. Our mission, really inspired by Dr. Hoffman's lecture, is to unpack these critical chemical signals, hormones, that basically choreograph so much of what happens inside you.
And Dr. Hoffman kicked things off with a really key distinction, didn't he, between the nervous system and the endocrine system.
He did. We know the nervous system uses both electrochemical signals, those super fast nerve impulses, and chemical ones like neurotransmitters.
But the endocrine system, it operates purely on chemical signals. No electricity involved, just chemicals carrying messages.
It's all about chemical communication.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle, maybe, but incredibly powerful.
And this is the fundamental point Dr. Hoffman hammered home. For any chemical, signal, hormone, or neurotransmitter, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing, unless it binds to a specific receptor.
Like a lock and key, right.
Precisely. The key has to fit the lock perfectly, no fit, no action.
Okay, let's dig into that because it's fascinating. Dr. Hoffman mentioned that hormones and neurotransmitters can actually be the exact same chemical.
Yeah, that can bend your mind a little. Same molecule, totally different job depending on the context.
So it's not about the chemical itself then?
Not primarily. It's really about how it's released and how far it travels. Neurotransmitters are local.
Right. Released at a synapse, tiny distance act right there, like whispering a secret.
Exactly. But hormones, they're released by glands into the bloodstream.
The body's broadcast system.
That's a great way to put it. Broadcast everywhere the blood goes, potentially reaching every cell.
Potentially. Because, coming back to Dr. Hoffman's point,
it all comes down to the receptor again. Even if the hormone washes up against a cell, if that cell doesn't have the right receptor,
nothing. It's like the cell doesn't even hear the message.
Correct. The message is sent, but it can't be received without that specific receptor.
So assuming the hormone does find its target cell and the right receptor, what happens next? How does it actually work inside? Dr. Hoffman laid out two main ways, starting with steroid hormones.
Right, the steroid hormones. These are lipids derived from cholesterol. And being lipids is key here.
Because the cell membrane is also a lipid bilayer.
Exactly. So they can just slip right through, easily pass through the cell membrane, even the nuclear membrane, and get right inside the cell.
So the receptors aren't on the surface. They're inside.
That's right. Located inside the cell, maybe in the cytoplasm, maybe in the nucleus itself.
And when the hormone binds to that internal receptor,
it causes a shape change in the receptor protein. And Dr. Hoffman noted this often leads directly to, well, activating a gene.
Direct gene activation. Wow.
Yeah, it basically tells a specific gene, okay, turn on. That gene then makes messenger RNA, which builds a new protein. It's a very direct way to change what the cell is doing.
Okay, that's one way. Powerful, direct. But you said that's not how most hormones work.
No, the majority are actually amino acid based. So proteins or smaller chains of amino acids, peptides. And these guys cannot just slip through the cell membrane.
They're not lipids. The membrane blocks them.
Correct. So their receptors have to be on the cell surface. They're proteins embedded in the membrane.
So they don't go inside. Dr. Hoffman used that analogy, like knocking on the door.
Exactly. The hormone is the first messenger. It binds to the receptor on the outside, causes a shape change there. Its job is done. It doesn't need to enter.
And that knock, that shape change on the outside, triggers something inside.
Precisely. It activates what's called a second messenger system within the cell. The hormone stays outside, but the signal is relayed inward by the second messenger, like cyclic AMP, which Dr. Hoffman mentioned.
Okay, so the first messenger knocks, the second messenger answers the door and carries the message inside to cause changes.
That's a great way to think about it. And that's how most hormones get their jobs done. It's an indirect mechanism compared to steroids, but very effective.
Got it. Now, let's talk about the conductors of this whole endocrine orchestra, the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland.
Yes, a critical link. Dr. Hoffman really emphasized this as a major point of interaction between the nervous system, the hypothalamus being part of the brain, and the endocrine system, the pituitary gland.
The brain directly controlling hormone release. It's fascinating. And the pituitary, the master gland, it's actually two distinct parts, isn't it?
It is. You have the anterior pituitary, the adenohypophysis. That's the true glandular part.
And it releases not hormones that do the final job, but controlling hormones.
Right. It releases releasing hormones or inhibiting hormones. Their function is to tell other endocrine glands, hey, release your hormone, or nope, stop releasing.
Oh, it's trolling the controllers.
Yeah, pretty much. Examples Dr. Hoffman gave include growth hormone, prolactin, FSH, LH, thyroid-stimulating hormone, ACTH, and he pointed out these are all amino acid-based.
Okay, and the other part of the pituitary, the posterior pituitary.
The neurohypophysis. And this is where it gets interesting, as Dr. Hoffman explained. It's not actually a gland.
Not a gland. What is it then?
It's basically an extension of the brain. It's made of axons, nerve fibers, whose cell bodies are up in the hypothalamus.
So neurons from the brain reach down into it.
And release their chemicals directly into the bloodstream from there, which makes these chemicals neurohormones. Brain chemicals acting as hormones.
Wow. And what are the main ones released there?
Two key ones, ADH, antidiuretic hormone, and oxytocin. ADH tells the kidneys to conserve water antidiuresis.
So make less urine, keep water in the body. Important if you're dehydrated or blood pressure drops.
Exactly. It leads to concentrated urine. And then oxytocin. We've heard about this one.
Yeah, the positive feedback hormone. Uterine contractions in childbirth.
Right. And also milk ejection, the letdown reflex, which different from milk production.
Okay, let's move down the body a bit. What about the thyroid gland? The metabolic regulator.
Ah, yes, the thyroid. That butterfly-shaped gland in the neck wrapped around the thyroid cartilage.
I can picture it. And it makes T3 and T4 thyroid hormones.
Correct, from its follicular cells. And remember, these are amines, technically amino acid-based, but Dr. Hoffman pointed out they're unusual because they act like steroids.
Meaning they can get inside cells.
Yes, they can. And their main job is setting your overall metabolic rate, kind of like the body's thermostat or throttle.
And it makes another hormone too, right? Calcitonin.
It does, from different cells called parafollicular cells. Calcitonin helps tone down blood calcium if it gets too high, helps decrease it.
Okay, so if calcitonin lowers calcium, what raises it? That brings us to the parathyroid glands.
Yes, usually four tiny glands, often embedded right in the thyroid, but functionally totally separate.
And they make parathyroid hormone, PTH.
And PTH is absolutely critical. Dr. Hoffman stressed this, you cannot live without it.
Why is it so vital?
Because it maintains blood calcium levels. If calcium drops too low, PTH kicks in. It tells specialized cells in your bones, osteoclasts, to break down bone and release calcium into the blood.
And low calcium is really bad.
Extremely dangerous. Calcium is essential for your heart muscle to contract, for nerve signals, lots of vital processes. PTH keeps that level just right.
Wow. Okay, moving on. The pancreas. I know it's involved in digestion, but it's also an endocrine gland.
It has a dual role, exactly. It's tucked into that loop of the small intestine. It has an exocrine function making digestive enzymes release through ducts.
And an endocrine function, releasing hormones straight into the blood.
Right. And that endocrine part is handled by clusters of cells called the pancreatic islets, little islands of hormone production.
Islets of Langerhans, sometimes called. And they make insulin and glucagon.
The key players in blood sugar control, yes. Produced by different cells within the islets, beta cells make insulin, alpha cells make glucagon, and they work opposite each other.
Okay, so insulin is for when blood sugar is too high, like after eating.
Correct. Insulin tells most body cells, importantly, not the brain, as Dr. Hoffman noted, to take glucose out of the blood and store it or use it. This brings blood sugar down.
And the brain doesn't need insulin for glucose.
Nope. The brain can take up glucose anytime, which is crucial.
So what about glucagon then?
Glucagon is for when blood sugar gets too low. Maybe you haven't eaten for a while.
Okay.
Glucagon signals the liver primarily to break down its stored glycogen back into glucose and release it into the blood. This raises blood sugar levels back towards normal.
A constant balancing act between those two.
A very precise one.
All right. Next up, the adrenal glands. Sitting on top of the kidneys, right? But separate organs.
That's right. Adrenal, meaning on the kidney. And like the pituitary, there are really two glands in one. You've got the inner part, the adrenal medulla.
That's the fight or flight response center, short-term stress.
Exactly. It's stimulated directly by nerves from the sympathetic nervous system, and it pumps out epinephrine adrenaline and norepinephrine noradrenaline.
And those cause heart rate up, blood pressure up.
Liver dumps glucose into the blood, airways open up, gets you ready for immediate action. Classic stress response.
But that's short term. What about the outer part, the adrenal cortex?
The cortex handles more prolonged stress, among other things. It's stimulated by hormones, specifically ACTH from the pituitary we mentioned earlier, and its hormones are all steroids.
All steroids from the cortex.
Yeah.
And Dr. Hoffman mentioned layers.
Yes, three functional layers. The outermost produces mineralocorticoids, which regulate mineral balance. Think sodium and potassium, crucial for blood pressure and fluid balance.
Okay. Middle layer.
Glucocorticoids, like cortisol. These are key for managing energy resources during prolonged stress. They help keep blood glucose up, especially for the brain.
How do they do that?
By telling other tissues, like muscles, to use fats and proteins for energy instead of glucose, saving the glucose for the brain.
Clever. And the innermost layer?
Produces sex hormones. And this is interesting. It produces them in both sexes, in addition to the gonads. So females make some androgens, like testosterone here, and males make some estrogens.
Right. Supplementing what the ovaries and tests make.
Exactly. Now, Dr. Hoffman included a really important warning about chronic stress here.
About the glucocorticoids.
Yes. If you're under prolonged stress, you have constantly elevated glucocorticoids. And a major side effect of that is suppression of the immune system.
Suppressing immunity. That sounds bad.
It is. It makes you more susceptible to infections. And Dr. Hoffman even mentioned potential links to other issues, including cancer risk. No. It really highlights the physical toll of chronic stress.
A very sobering point. Okay, let's cover a few other important endocrine players. The thymus.
The thymus gland, larger in kids, shrinks as we age. Its main job is crucial for immunity. It's where T lymphocytes, or T cells, mature.
So it's like a training camp for immune cells.
That's a perfect analogy. Teaching T cells how to recognize and fight invaders properly.
Okay. Then there's the pineal gland, deep in the brain.
Tiny little gland. Its claim to fame is melatonin.
The sleep hormone.
Well, it's key for regulating circadian rhythms or daily cycles. Sleep-wake cycle is the most obvious one. Melatonin helps manage that rhythm.
Gotcha. Now, Dr. Hoffman also described a more complex system involving multiple organs, the renin-angiotensin system.
Ah, yes. A great example of inter-organ cooperation involves the kidneys, liver, lungs, blood vessels.
And its purpose?
To raise blood pressure and volume when they drop too low, say from dehydration or bleeding.
That doesn't work. In brief.
Kidneys release renin. Renin starts a cascade reaction involving substances from the liver and enzymes in the lungs, ultimately producing angiotensin II.
And angiotensin II.
This is a powerful vasoconstrictor. It squeezes blood vessels, raising pressure. It also triggers other effects to increase blood volume. It's a vital system for maintaining blood pressure.
Complex, but effective. Is there anything that does the opposite, lowers blood pressure?
There is. Atrial natriuretic peptide, or ANP.
Atrial, from the heart.
Yes. Released by cells in the atria, the upper chambers of the heart, usually when blood pressure or volume gets too high.
And it lowers pressure how?
It primarily tells the kidneys to excrete more sodium.
And water follows sodium.
Exactly. So you lose salt and water in the urine, which helps lower blood volume and pressure. A nice counterbalance to the renin system.
Elegant checks and balances. Okay, finally, the gonads. Testes and ovaries.
Primary sex organs, yes, because they produce the gametes, sperm, and eggs. But they're also major endocrine glands.
Producing the sex hormones.
Right. Testosterone, the main androgen, meaning male generating. Estrogens, like estradiol, linked to estrus or female cycles. And progesterone, which promotes gestation, important for pregnancy.
And these hormones do much more than just reproduction, right?
Oh, absolutely. They influence development, metabolism, bone health, mood. A huge range of effects throughout the body in both sexes.
So wrapping this all up, it's quite a journey we've taken, guided by Dr. Hoffman's insights. This intricate web, the endocrine system.
It really is a web. Tiny chemical signals, hormones, broadcast everywhere, but each finding its specific target, its specific receptor.
To orchestrate just about everything. Metabolism, calcium levels, glucose balance, our response to stress, even immunity.
It's this constant, subtle chemical conversation happening inside us all the time. Whether it's a steroid flipping a gene switch directly.
Or an amino acid hormone knocking on the door to activate a second messenger.
These hormones are constantly guiding our body's functions, mostly without us even noticing.
It's quite humbling, really, thinking about how much our daily lives, our feelings, our health are tied to these unconscious chemical processes.
Absolutely. And Dr. Hoffman's points about things like chronic stress impacting immunity or the critical balance of calcium and glucose, it really drives home how delicate and yet powerful this internal chemistry is.
So maybe the final thought for you, the listener, is this. Considering this deep dive, how does it change the way you think about your own well-being? About those incredible unseen forces constantly at work within you every single second?